Joseph was a man. He wasn't superhuman in his faith or his strength. He had very few special gifts. Now, one thing he had going for him is he was in the line of David, the king. But the problem with his special birth being in the Davidic line is it was somewhat similar to being in the line of Jefferson Davis, the Confederate leader. You know, there was no such thing anymore. There was no nation that had a Davidic king. Those kings had long since been eliminated. And the only thing that being in the line of David could possibly do for Joseph was put him in the firing line for those who were kings of that day, whether it be Caesar in Rome or Herod in Jerusalem. Joseph had learned to keep his head down and lower his own expectations. And his expectations weren't big. What would bring him happiness and joy in life was simply a good marriage to a faithful wife and the blessing of children. And he thought he had it. And then his bride-to-be showed up and told him the news that she was pregnant. But the good news is it's from God. Yeah, right. Joseph wanted to believe her, but he couldn't. Who could? I mean, Joseph is normal, and anyone normal would tell you that this is a line. This is a lie. This can't be true. How could it be? And so Joseph dismisses Mary. We're not sure how long she's gone. My own particular opinion is that time that Mary is away with Elizabeth is probably the time that Joseph sent her away. It coincides in an appropriate spot, in an appropriate place, and in an appropriate way. She's gone. She's out of the picture. She's out of the neighborhood. Her embarrassment is lowered because she's in another section of town. A place where no one would see her and no one would understand. Because Joseph is a good man and he's righteous. Now, I want to make sure you hear something here because this is an important thing. Righteous people are always going to have trouble with Christmas. Because as righteous people, we have expectations of how our life is going to go and what it's going to be like. How people are going to treat us. How we are going to experience life. We are good, darn it, and we deserve goodness in our presence. But goodness doesn't always happen to people who are righteous, does it? We don't always get what we think we deserve. And worse yet, oftentimes what we think we deserve, what we believe our expectations are not the things that God wants to give us. So we ask for things that other people want, that we expect, but God doesn't want to give us. And so we are disappointed. We are distressed. And furthermore, our joy is removed from us. It's said that the worst thing in the world is not to have joy, it's to have your joy stolen. And expectations that are unmet often steal our joy. Imagine for a moment you're a child and you have an expectation that this is the gift you're going to receive for Christmas. You open the package only to find something else. You expected a game, and what you got was something akin to an electronics kit that was going to help you to learn how to do wiring or other such thing. You reject the gift. It's learning, for goodness sakes. You know, now in the toy stores, they have a whole section for STEM games, for things that will help a child with science, technology, and math, right? That's great as a parent. We love that. But as a kid, all we could think of is, really? More homework, Mom? Thanks. But which one is the gift that grows? When we see joy in the scripture, often that joy does not come from an understanding of getting what we want, but from wanting what we need. Biblical joy is happiness. There's an aspect of it where it's excitement and happiness. Some people try to cut the happiness out of joy. They try to say joy is kind of like, you know, it's like a party when no one laughs. But joy is happy. Joy is excited. Joy is over-the-top excitement and happiness. But it's also a sense of contentment. It's also a sense where it doesn't just appear and disappear. Many of us are happiness junkies in today's world. We need the fix of being happy. And that leads us down all sorts of negative roads into addictions and other things. Some people get a charge out of spending money. When I have a bad day, sometimes I just need to go buy myself something. Have anyone ever been there? Yeah, no one knows what I'm talking about on that one. Sometimes it means eating or drinking or other things. People connect the sensation of pleasure with happiness. And oftentimes what we do is we attack those things that give us pleasure, but they never make us happy. You see, the issue isn't that joy isn't happiness. It's often that pleasure isn't happiness. It's that pleasure isn't joy. And if you go through your entire life trying to make sure that you get what you want that brings you pleasure, you'll never find the contentment that God wants to give you that lasts for your lifetime. Because you end up going from experience to experience, taking the easy way out and making sure you avoid the difficult things in life. People that are after pleasure don't necessarily go on hikes up a mountain. That's work. People that are after pleasure don't study or learn. That's work. But what if for a moment you could find joy in the things that were good? What if for a moment you could find enjoyment in the things that fulfill your need and the needs of others? Because the other thing about joy, it's not just about you. Joy is something that's communal and it's shared. When the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, your joy helps other people to have joy. In a moment when we sing our concluding hymn, I want to make sure you understand this. It always sounds better when the person next to you is singing too. When you add your voice to the voice of others, you hear music. Oftentimes when your voice is just alone, you feel awkward. Or is it just me? And finally, our joy is always found in the Lord. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And part of what we have to do is what Joseph had to do in that day in which he was called. And it wasn't simply a day. You know, again, in the fairy tale version of the story, Joseph hears about it, goes to sleep that night, and wakes up in the morning knowing what to do. Because that's how fairy tales work. That's Hakuna Matata. It's not Emmanuel. In real life, Joseph gets angry, he dismisses Mary, and he goes home to stew about it. And weeks pass. And he talks to the people that he loves, and he cries, and he's angry. And then, one day, in the fullness of time, Joseph has his heart changed. And Joseph hears from God in a way that only God can do it. That still small voice that burrows into you, that drills deep, that tells you again and again and again what you heard the first time but refuse to follow. How many of you have heard the word of God and said no? Until finally you couldn't say no anymore. There's a simple truth about that. Yeah. There's a simple truth. Every minister I've ever talked to, every pastor I've ever discussed this with has told me exactly the same thing. They said no far more than they said yes. And what was a lifetime call was a lifetime no until the day that everything changed and God changed their no to a yes. God wants to change your no to a yes today. But let me make sure you hear something. God's not going to miracle away the circumstances that you live in. God's going to call you into the circumstances you live in. Most people want to say yes to God as a bargain. God, if you take away these difficulties, then I'll say yes to you. But here's the truth. God always says yes. God wants you to say yes in your circumstances. Because your circumstances give you the ability to become who God wants you to be. Even those things that you count as a negative in your life, God wants to take those and transform them into something positive. That's Christmas joy. Because think of Joseph's story. Imagine Joseph having to tell his parents the story. How would that go over, do you think? But Mom, it's not what it looks like. And she'd say, well, what do you think? She's going to have the Lord God himself? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the truth is that everyone thinks their kid's the Messiah, but only one person had the Messiah. And it happened to be Mary. Now, you could believe it or not believe it, but that's what Joseph discovered. And he was part of that story. It was a story that few people believed in his life. I could promise you one thing. Joseph never lived to experience that which he probably wanted, which was approval from his peers and the people around him. You know, that's the problem with our faithfulness. That's the problem with living a life of faith. We don't always get what we want. But living a life of faith means that we do and we find joy in what God wants us to do. Because the joy of the Lord in our lives is our strength. Maintain your joy no matter what your circumstances are, so that you can have the strength to endure anything that life puts before you. You know, Christmas is still Christmas, with the tree or without the tree. I've shared the story of the Grinch many times, and last year we watched some of it right here. It's still my favorite Christmas story outside the biblical one itself, because no other story tells it like it really is. Christmas is still Christmas, whether there's a tree or tinsel or a single present. And if you don't get the joy of Christmas without the stuff of Christmas, then you're missing something real important. Because Christmas is that God walks with us from now until the end of time. And God is revealed to us in the baby born of Mary, shepherded by Joseph, and who grew up to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Messiah, who died so that we might have life, and who through the Holy Spirit continues to be present in us. I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it all the way through Christmas Day. The presence of Jesus is the gift of Christmas. And there's no gift greater. Share God's presence with the people that you love. Shine the light of God's glory and follow the example of Joseph, who lifted up his joy, not because he was happy with his circumstances, but because he knew that God was with him. And God is with you. As you reach out and share the Christmas spirit with others, remind them that God with us is Emmanuel, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, there's no way that we can fully thank you for all that you've given to us. You've given us the great gift of your presence and your love. We thank you that in our joy we can find strength if it's your joy in us. Lord God, we ask that you would never allow circumstances to remove the joy of God in our lives. Your joy, your strength, and your spirit. Help us to not be ashamed to be happy, to be joyful, to be excited by the season that we are in. But help us to be right in why we're happy. Not because of the gifts that we receive from others, but because of the gifts that we receive from you. Help us to reflect those gifts in the generosity that we give to others, and the love that we show, and the peace that continues to abide in our hearts, and the faithfulness by which we stand. Help these Christmas characteristics be the foundations of our Christian character, so that those who would encounter us would encounter the children of God, the people of a living Christ, those who see and experience God with us every day of the year. We thank you for this blessing, and we seek the strength to share the blessing with others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it all. Amen.